Good afternoon, Sunday Drive Talkers. I'm so glad to be on with you, and this is another rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. There is so much to discuss, so much to talk about, but we take on Christian controversial topics in a godly, respectful way. We talk from an informational point of view. We want to thank you for tuning in on today and tell you to get yourself ready because there is much to discuss. On today, before we jump into our topic, Adam and Eve, what would happen if Adam killed Eve instead of eating of the fruit himself? We are going to give thanks to all of our sponsors, our contributors, our supporters. We want to say thank you so much. Mr. Jason Moore at Salon Knoxville. We want to thank the Rock of Ages Baptist Church. We want to thank Pastor Anthony Maples, the True Believers Church, and all of those who are in the Knoxville and the Morristown crew of supporters. Thank you on Facebook. Thank you on Blog Talk. Thank you for all of our Twitter followers and supporters and all those that contribute and donate on a weekly and monthly basis. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask that you do your best to ask any questions that you may have along this broadcast. If you have questions, please shoot a text message to 865-306-6362, or you can inbox me. I'm available on the internet at www.facebook.com/PastorWButler. So I would love to hear from you ASAP. On this rendition of our Sunday Drive Talk, we are going to be going back to the very beginning, talking about one of the very first stories ever known to mankind, the story of Adam and Eve. When we begin to look at this story, most people have heard of it, whether they are believers or not. But our questions that have been posed over the last week pose an interesting question, interesting plot twist and curiosity about the future of people if things just happen just a little bit differently. So let's jump into it, shall we? The Bible teaches in Genesis, which means the beginning, and where we find the beginning of all things, the first man, the first woman, the first birth, the first lie, the first theft, and the first death, and the first murder. We find all these things in the book of Genesis. We find out the beginning of the cosmos and the universe, right at the beginning of the earth itself, the creation of all animals and even mankind. And we find out that in the beginning, the Bible teaches that God created a garden, and this garden was called the Garden of Eden. This Garden of Eden was a very unique place, but you will find that even though it defines the rivers that came there, like the River Euphrates, which is located in the continent of Africa, that the word Eden actually is not by itself just a location on earth. When you look at the word Eden, it actually is two parts. It is not only a location on earth, but it also is an existence. It's a coexistence between heaven and earth, a meeting point, if you would, of the heavens and the earth. So Eden was not just a location, but it also was an atmosphere by which God existed and man existed. And that place was a very unique location, and that's the reason why, man, we're not able to go there on today. There's much more to dig into. And if you have questions, please make sure that you shoot a text message to 865-306-6362. So the story of the Garden of Eden is very simple. God created Adam. He created him above all things on the earth. He told him to take care of that garden, to dress it, and to keep it. He also instructed him that he would name all of the animals, which Adam did. And not only did he create all of those things, but after looking at all those things, he saw that plants and animals were able to reproduce after their own kind, but man was not. And therefore, he said, it's not good that man should be alone, cause a deep sleep to fall upon him. And out of his side, he took a rib and created Eve out of the rib of man. And so when you take that and put it together, you now have the very first husband and wife, united couple, joined at the hip or at the rib, if you would, and they live in the Garden of Eden, and they were able to live there, and there were some strange attributes. The attributes that they shared were that they did not have to suffer, they did not have pain, they didn't have to die, they didn't have sickness, there was no detrimental issues with them whatsoever, and they were naked, and they didn't know what naked was. After all, if you had never seen anybody ever with clothes on, how would you ever think that you were naked? I mean, it's just a weird thing. Well, the Bible teaches that God did not give them a lot of instructions, but he did tell them one thing that was forbidden. That was a tree, the knowledge of good and evil, that was in the center of the garden. And he said, this tree which is in the midst or the middle of the garden, do not touch it, do not eat off it, lest you die. So that was their responsibility. Now, a problem came about, and the problem came about where they were in the garden for quite some time, and the Bible doesn't say exactly how long they were in the garden before this occurred. But we do know that it did happen that while they were there, Eve began to have a conversation with a serpent. And the serpent, who was really possessed with the devil himself, had a conversation with her, telling her, didn't God say that you can eat off of any trees of the garden that you wanted? And she said, well, we can, except the one that's in the middle of the garden. And he told her, she began to declare to him that they weren't able to touch it or eat from it or they were going to die. And Satan, in the form of that snake, did the one thing that causes all sin. He actually gave her information to defy the living God. And when she heard this information, a few things happened. He told her, oh, you're not going to die. The only thing that's going to happen is that your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. And the Bible says Eve looked at the tree, saw that the fruit was good, saw that it was something desired to be desired and to make one wise, insinuating that she was interested in possibly wanting to be more like God, more of herself, more than what she was created to be than herself. And the Bible says that she took of the fruit and she ate of it. And then not only did she eat of it, but she came and brought it over to Adam and gave him of some of the fruit. And he ate of it also. And then sin entered into the world. Both of their eyes were open. And sin has been a problem ever since. Now, because of the introduction of sin, there's a few things that have occurred. First, mankind, man, woman, boys, and girls, all humans now, have to die. We are not no longer immortal. We don't live forever anymore. Second, it created a situation where we have a separation between us and God, where it strained our relationship due to the disrespect and the breach of commitment that we had with God. Third, it created a situation where they were no longer now able to be in the presence of God, and so they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Fourth, it created a situation where now, from then on, all of their offspring would be a copy of their flesh, therefore inheriting the same desires, tendencies, and flesh issues, being drawn to sin just like them. So we asked on the internet, and we began to look around to see if anyone had some interesting questions regarding it, and we found quite a few. There were a few people who had questions and issues and things that they would like to discuss about the Garden of Eden. And one of the questions were, what would happen if in the Garden of Eden, Adam, instead of eating from the fruit, would have killed Eve for disobeying God? Now, what would have happened? Isn't that a great question? Now, before I jump into this, I want to throw it out to you and my audience. If you could, send a text message to 865-306-62. I'd like to see your response on this. Also, I would love to hear what you may have to input. If there's anyone over the radio audience who would like to interject at this time, you can feel free to try to do so if you don't mind. And also, I had a young man who was on the internet, Mr. Jones, and he gave an interesting feedback topic online about this. He put a topic online that said, "I was just thinking, all could have been great if Adam had just killed Eve. What do y'all think, Facebook? Emoji. And so we want to look and see what some of those thoughts were. Are there any thoughts? If so, please interject at this time. Otherwise, I'm going to give feedback from all of these messages that were referred back to Mr. Jones, as well as those who are texting me right now. Anyone? What would happen if, you know, do you think everything would be just fine and dandy? Would it be great if Adam just went back and killed Eve because of this thing that she did? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it good? Is it bad? Would it make everything okay? Any takers? We're wide open.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it would have been bad. I don't think God would have wanted him to kill Eve. I don't think it was his place. But I think if he would have not ate the fruit with her, then things would have been different, because God was no happy with Cain and Abel. So I don't think he would have been happy if Adam or Eve would have killed one another.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great feedback. Now, one of the things we do know about God is that since he is a giver of life, he doesn't think that people should take life for as man killing man without it being sanctioned by God first. The only time that we're able to extinguish life is when God has ordered it, and therefore the person is not committing a murder, but they're following the obedience of God himself. Now, that's a big thing. So had Adam killed Eve, then on it would have been him being, that could have been taken as sin against God. So instead of him eating the fruit and sinning against God, it would have been him murdering her and still sinning against God, or causing a situation where God may not be happy. Now, this also has a little bit tricky part. If you keep in mind, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, doesn't come for years and years and years and years and years later, after Adam and Eve, after the beginning of mankind, after all these other things have kicked into place, you know, after all of those things have kicked into place, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be quite a few people by the time God said, thou shalt not kill. I mean, that thou shalt not kill part doesn't come until after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them. I mean, you know, that doesn't happen to Moses. So technically, it's not sin until God has taught you not to do that thing. So would it be sin for Adam if he killed her and he did it for the right motive? Would that be okay? Because it had not been said, thou shalt not kill. The only rule he had was not to go and do this thing. That's a good question some people are asking. But I want to share with you in the answer of what our just recent commentator just said, is that just like he didn't like it between Cain and Abel, even though the Ten Commandments had not been written, God still saw Cain killing Abel as murder. He saw it as a repercussion that affected mankind, and he said that the blood of this innocent man cries back from the ground. So God would have still seen murder as murder. So this gives us kind of an inclination that we can understand that God does not like people trying to extinguish people, all right? So when we take that into consideration, it bodes well for us to understand that he wants us to be committed to his will. But in the situation where a person has affected others and taking away from the will of God, or taking a different path going away from the will of God, you know, we know now that it's God's perfect will that we would try to stand against that sin and help to recover one another, to recruit one another, to restore one another and to remove the bad things so that we can become the good people on the good path going in the good direction. And so we know now a little bit more of what God's perfect will was. And as we understand that, we're going forward into this. So any other takers? You know, what do you think about Adam killing Eve as retribution for her sinning by eating from the fruit? Do you think it was good? Do you think it was bad? Do you think it was right? Do you think it was wrong? I'm wide open to hear your comments at this time. I have folks online that are saying, that's such a terrible thought. And I have men that are online saying, he should have put her in check. Whatever means or method he would have used would have been okay. There are a lot of replies to that person's comment, and there are some people who are not happy about the comments that the young man put, saying, you must not be married. Put her in check? What is that? Yeah. And so there's an argument that goes on about this online where there's lots of comments and things back and forth about people. So there's another comment that said, hey, my big brother, if we just understand why it happened the way it did, we won't even be having this discussion. Someone else put out there, the world would be full of bad things if you did do that. Someone else put, what part of thou shalt not kill do you not understand? Someone else put, fictitious characters. And someone else put, what if there was no Adam? Other people chalked this question up to just a wiki banter and playful conversation of a person who wants comments and says, you need a hobby. One thing we know, someone else put is saying, who knows? Women today still act like Eve, and men still act like Adam. It's just life. It's all about everybody individually, because me personally would have had Eve following me and doing what I say. What kind of stuff is this? Women don't understand God put. Okay, he's not really finishing his comment here. All right. Clearly, we have some people that have taken this into a male chauvinistic point of view, and there's other who are actually going across and trying to, answer this more regularly. There's someone that says, not knowing knowledge, right from wrong, doesn't stop wrong from being wrong and doesn't change the punishment. There was no need to announce killing being wrong because there was no one killing. Had Adam killed Eve, he would have been as wrong as Eve for eating the fruit. Eve wasn't given instructions not to eat from the tree. Adam was given instructions. And had he been a man to lead, he wouldn't have eaten from the tree no matter who offered him a bite. Hello, somebody. And so when we began to look at this, there's a preacher who gets on the response, and he says, instead of murdering Eve, perhaps maybe he should have murdered the serpent. And I like that comment that he put out there. So as we go through this comments, they have quite a few of them. I won't read them all, but let's look at this. If we go just a little bit deeper, if there was no Eve and he had killed her, how in the world would you have a first man? I mean, how are you gonna have the first baby being born? You know, where's Cain and Abel and Seth gonna come from? You're gonna be missing a whole bunch of people. You know, so without Eve, man can't procreate. God would have to create another woman. Because they were the first two, none of us would be here. If he had taken that mindset and killed her, or if she had killed him, none of us would be here. You know, that's something to keep in mind. It's a serious thing when we started talking about trying to kill our forefathers. Talk about the butterfly effect. What you do affecting other people, it's pretty big and pretty serious. So as we look at this, it tells us something about ourselves. How do we solve problems? How do we want problems to be solved? I like the preacher's comment that said that perhaps we should just go ahead and kill the serpent. Well, if you want to know how to solve a problem, you can always look at how God solved it. He looked at every person who was involved, and they all got their just desserts, and all of them got repercussions of their actions as dealt out by God Almighty. He told them that, first of all, Adam, what is this that you have done? And Adam was like, well, you know, that woman you gave me, she gave me this food and I ate it. What is this that you've done? Well, that serpent over there, he tricked me, and that's the only reason why I ate. So one thing they picked up right away is the ability to be able to cover up, hide from their mistakes, and lie about it quickly. They picked that up because that definitely is a human trait. Sin starts out automatically protecting itself. Isn't that crazy? Look at this. But God, who knows all things, can see all things. He actually deals with the situation by sharing with them a punishment that is actually completely consistent with the repercussions of what's going on in their life. He tells them, man, you know, you are going to have to eat. Now, since you started eating, you have to eat. In order for you to survive, you're going to have to eat in order for you to live. So he can't live without eating now. Also, the ground, because you involved this plant, is not going to automatically yield itself to you. Since you've corrupted the plant or the fruit of the earth, you now going to have to till the earth and cause fruit to bring forth plants. So men now have to farm it. Plants are not just going to automatically grow from will. You got to put some elbow grease in and make it happen. All right. Also, as we go into this, he looks at Eve, tells her that there's going to be pain now that's going to come because you've been you consume this fruit into your body, that now when you have children, it's going to be painful. And you're going to have sorrow and travail and childbirth when you bring forth life. He's telling them about all these different things, and even goes down to the serpent and says, serpent, this serpent is going to be cursed, and he is no longer going to walk. He is now going to crawl on his belly. All right, he's going to be cursed all the days of his life and have to crawl on his belly. And he's going to create enmity between man and serpent. And that's the reason why people dislike snakes so much. It may even be why the snakes don't like people. I don't know. But I will tell you this. God always has a way of handling all things. Now, I'd like to go on before I go into my conclusions of this. I'd like to ask, are there any other questions regarding this situation about the death of Adam, the death of Eve, how this would affect people? Any questions? All right, as we get ready to look into this a little bit deeper, we find that sin has been a problem of mankind since the beginning of time. It has always created an issue where people were always trying to figure out what to do, when to do, how to do, and where to do. And it has created all kinds of problems for us. And when you look into this, man is still being plagued by sin. It is like a dirty, 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 dirty infection that when you touch something, your hands just turn all different colors of bad. And then as soon as somebody else shakes your hand, they turn all different colors of bad. It is not able to be removed. Sin is something that stains your mind. It stains your spirit. It weighs you down. And it cannot be cleaned by anything else except the blood of Jesus. He is the only one that can wash away the stench of sin. And our sin, it needs to be washed away in order for us to be in the best situation with God. Therefore, we need to lower it like crazy. And if you think that you can make it without him, something is wrong with you. We need to do without sin. But we cannot cure sin by committing sin. You cannot overcome evil with evil. As the Bible says in Romans 12 and 12 and 21, don't try to do evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. This is why we have such a mindset of misunderstanding when it comes down to many things that was written in Scripture, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. People think that actually means to go and kill someone because they killed someone else, or to pluck out someone's eye because they plucked out somebody else's eye. And that is not all the tone in which the Scripture actually puts, if you really study the context and why that was given. It was given to show people that they were supposed to think about other people outside of themselves. It was given to help us understand that other people have the right to be cared about and appreciated, respected, and loved. That when we get ready to do harm to someone, we're supposed to ask ourselves, do I want my eye plucked out? And if not, then I shouldn't take someone else's eye out. Do I want somebody to steal my money? If not, then I shouldn't steal someone else's money. That's how we're supposed to think about that. So when it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we're supposed to think about it as if I don't want someone to pull the teeth out of my head, then I shouldn't be trying to pull a teeth out of someone else's head or take something from them. It's just as simple as that. So Adam and Eve, had it been no Eve, there would be no us unless God went back and recreated. Now, I will tell you this, that there is an old Jewish poem that talked a long time ago about a second Eve named Lilith. And because of that, it was repopularized in the 1970s by many people who was looking for any contrast over Eve. And so because of that, many people actually believe that it was actually a real person named Lilith that was there before Eve that got into it with Adam and flew away somewhere. There is nothing further from the truth. One of the things we must understand is we know that the word of God comes from God, and we must learn not to add or take away from it. Therefore, as we look at this situation, the Bible is very clear that we should never sin. And if there is sin in our brother or our sister, we should seek to want to be a positive impact of recovery from that sin for the accomplishment and the better of all mankind. And we should want to do so because it honors God and it pleases him greatly. I want to thank you so much for tuning in on this rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. If you ever have any questions, comments, amusing anecdotes, suggestions, or complaints, make sure you get at us because we would love to hear from you. If you're ever in the Morristown area or in the Knoxville area, come on out to Rock of Ages Baptist Church, 420 West 13th North Street. It is located in Morristown, Tennessee, 37814. We are there every Sunday morning, and we have an awesome Sunday morning Bible school where we also feed the community. So if you are interested in getting your grub on or ministering to somebody in that way, tell them to come on, and they can get an awesome word just like you heard today. And we're there on Wednesdays as well, but we have a Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. It has our choir singing. It has yours truly preaching. It is an awesome event for all people, all ages, all races, all of the time. And if that isn't your date that you're able to make it, come on through on Wednesday at 6 o'clock straight up and down and become part of our Bible Breakthrough, where we're talking about the end of the world. We're talking about how do you know how close we are to the rapture? How do you know if the end of the world is getting close by? What does the Bible say about what's going to happen when the end of the world happens? And what are the steps that are going to happen in sequence? Come on out and find out this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, straight up and down. Until next time, we love you. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. In the words of our producer, Miss Janice Hudson-Dizzee, have a victorious week in Jesus.